right now on VFN TV. We're going to go back and visit somebody on The Cosby Show today and what's taking place, how they had a Twitter storm and a social media storm all over the place. You're going to be really surprised how that has to do with something we all need to be thinking about. And we're going to hear a prophetic word from Hank Kuhneman about September. This is a very important month. Things are going to be happening, storms are going to be happening, and wisdom is going to be shared about what we need to do to survive the storms right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
How is it going, man?
Man, I'm doing good. You normally comment on my shirt, so what, did you like this shirt? Is this okay?
It's almost like Oklahoma, but the sleeves rolled up.
Almost not Oklahoma?
Okay. Oklahoma with the sleeves rolled up on the end.
All right,
you always look nice.
Let us know. Well, thank you. Thank you. You're looking dapper yourself with polka dots here today. I like that.
You like my dots.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Makes me think of Jonathan, right?
Yeah, definitely.
That's just a joke. Hey, listen, we love hearing from you. We love your comments, how you're commenting below on our YouTube.
Yes.
And you're sending us emails at friends at vfnkb.com. By the way, if you haven't went to vfnkb.com lately, you got to check it out. We've got so many things there, including a pre-release of the book, I Will Fight.
Yes.
And you can find out about it. It's going to be coming soon.
Strategies for success. And that's what we all need, success in our lives.
Yeah, a lot of people don't think that life's a fight. And they think the first little pressure they hit, you either fight or medicate, whether it's addiction to entertainment, whether it's just getting busier with more hours or all the different things, technical things we talked about in previous programs.
Coping mechanisms.
Yeah, coping mechanisms. And the reality is so many people have been taught that life's not hard.
It's not hard, or life's just going to be given to you. But anything worth having, you have to be able to stay in and fight for it.
Well, this is, you know, there's when you work hard for what you get. And I know you've heard this probably from your parents if you're young, but if you're a parent, you've heard this. You know, if you work hard for what you get, you appreciate what you get.
Absolutely.
It's amazing when you're paying the bills.
Oh, yes.
How all of a sudden you'll walk around the house and say, turn that light switch off. You think
the value of a dollar has a whole new meaning.
When you're the one paying the dollar.
Oh, yeah.
But it also gives you value. You feel like you're participating, you know. And so every parent out there that you're wondering if you're 16, 17-year-old or 26-year-old in your home should be participating, you know, look at your parents and go, let me help you with these finances, because you're going to feel more valuable, your parents are going to be more appreciated, and you'll get a vision probably if you're 26.
That's right.
For a new address.
Oh, absolutely. Hopefully. Hopefully.
I'm seeing your future. It's not here. It's not here.
Yeah.
It's somewhere.
Out of these doors.
It's clear. You're probably going to have to write to me. You can't be driving. Won't be driving distance, right? Oh, we're just playing around.
Maybe. Not.
Not. So The Cosby Show, John, talk
to
us about The Cosby Show.
Yes, I don't know if you remember this great show, The Cosby Show. I know I did. I grew up watching that show, and my actually kids
did
still watch.
Did you grow up?
I did. Not fully, but I did.
Okay.
But anyway, there was an actor at the time who played Elvin Thibodeau.
Wait a minute. Name the family members, because I don't,
You had Mr. Huxtable, Mrs. Huxtable.
Dr. Huxtable,
excuse me.
Attorney.
His wife.
Claire.
Oh, look at... You watched it too.
I thought you grew up with it.
Well, hey.
Okay.
Then he had Theo, his son.
Right.
I forget what Lisa Bonet's.
I also remember Theo came, he cut his hair, it shaved right down the middle. He goes, what did you
do to your hair?
He goes, I don't know.
Yeah. Wow. There was a lot of.
You don't know the girls in the program?
Well,
Vanessa.
Vanessa, uh-huh. Rudy.
Yeah, Rudy.
And I think Sarah was the oldest one. I'm not sure. Was it Sarah? It's been a while. But anyway, the oldest daughter, she was married to Elvin Thibodeau. And he was always sticking his foot in his mouth when it came to his mother-in-law, Claire, you know, saying all kinds of different things. And yes.
Yes.
And his real name is Jeffrey Owens. Well, recently.
Denise, I think, was the oldest, actually.
Maybe it was Denise.
I didn't want to interrupt you or anything. I just thought you said you grew up with it.
Don't have
Sandra.
Sandra. We're getting help from the control room today.
I'm getting word.
It was some years back now. Great show.
Well, the reason why, because he was almost like a male chauvinist when he would talk about things. And here you have this powerful lady attorney who's
successful.
A wife, successful, and he's saying things that are so out of place.
So out of place. Yeah. And so it made for a funny, you know, sitcom. But everyone liked his character. Well, he was just photographed. His name is Jeffrey Owens, real name.
Recently.
At Trader Joe's.
Where is Trader Joe's?
This Trader Joe's happened to be in the town nearby where I used to live in Clifton, New Jersey. And he was bagging groceries.
He's working a job.
And somebody thought that it would be a good idea to take a picture, an unflattering picture, if you will, of him, and kind of job shame him, if you will.
He's working a job. What would be the
That's
shame
what
him?
I would say, you would say. But I didn't even know there was a concept called job shaming. But what they tried to do, hit the person and many of the networks that picked up the story and kind of went everywhere with it, went viral, was that basically...
You're looking at him here. Yeah, it's him now, yes.
The idea
he
was
looked
like...
a little younger then. Yeah. We all looked a little younger.
Oh, yes,
then.
We did. Yes, we did. The idea was like, look where he's come from. This big-time actor, now he's bagging groceries. Well,
he was actually only a son-in-law, so maybe he didn't have that far as you know.
Well, he was recently interviewed, and I mean, this thing just went viral, went everywhere. And he said something really interesting. He showed up with his Trader Joe's badge, by the way.
So what is job shaming?
Well, job shaming is basically when someone's trying to make you feel bad about the job that you have, that it's less worthy or not important or maybe a low job.
There is no job that's every job is a valuable thing.
Of course,
thing.
Every job is valuable.
It all gets paid greenbacks. Everybody gets paid.
Absolutely.
For their job.
It's not free, right? You're earning, you're exchanging your resources, your energy, your label, your skill set.
Isn't it funny that people have that mindset that they go and do business with all these people
of
all
course.
Day long. They buy stuff from the grocery
store. She was shopping at you.
Yeah, and they go to the fast food restaurant or they go to the grocery store, and their whole life revolves around employees that are working, and it's like belittling everybody in their own community.
They fail to understand the concept that the reason somebody has a job is because a job either provides a resource, a product, or a service. If it didn't provide anything of value, then they wouldn't be employed because no one would be using those services or those products.
Right.
So they're solving issues. So the lady who took a picture of this guy, she was buying groceries.
A customer. Wow.
I mean, it's not a good thing.
Well, so she's buying product from him, and she's actually thinking she's going to shame him.
Exactly.
Go figure,
right? Well, this thing went viral. I want you to hear what he had to say because he starts off by saying that this is going to pass.
Well, talk about what viral means because a lot of people might not know what viral means.
Viral, if you don't know.
Not a sickness.
Not a
necessarily.
Sickness. No. In this particular case means that this story, this account has went everywhere, which means social media, it's been on TV, it's been, you know, through all the websites, it's been on the different platforms.
Probably all over the world.
Yeah. It actually has been all over the world because he talks about how so many people reached out to him. He said at first, when he first saw this with his wife, he felt, you know, embarrassed a little bit. And then immediately, he started getting so many support texts and postings on his social media, you know, saying, hey, man, you know, we're proud of you. You're working, you know.
And especially in America, because right now there's more jobs available than we have people to fill them. So there's an overwhelming.
Of course. The first thing, too, he said he was concerned that his college-age son would feel embarrassed. So he texted him and said, hey, this is going to be hitting the internet. You're going to be seeing this soon. And his son texts back and says, Dad, I'm proud of you. I'm not humiliated by you. Jeffrey says he was sitting with his wife and he just began to tear up and just cry when he got that text back from his son.
He's college age. Is he in college or he's just college age?
No, his son, I think his son is 19.
Okay.
I think his son is 19. Jeffrey Owens is about 57 years old. And
so what did Jeffrey have to say?
Well, I want you to hear what he had to say because he said this is going to pass, but this is what he hopes is a result of all this attention. You know, this kind of 15 seconds of new fame, what he hopes this accomplishes. Take a look.
And I also want to say this. You know, this business of my being the Cosby guy who got shamed for working at Trader Joe's, that's going to pass. You know, that's going to, you know, in some measure of time, that's going to pass away. But I hope what doesn't pass is this idea that people are now thinking, this rethinking about what it means to work. You know, the honor of the working person and the dignity of work. And I hope that this period that we're in now where we have a heightened sensitivity about that and a reevaluation of what it means to work, and that a reevaluation of the idea that some jobs are better than others, because that's actually not true. There is no job that's better than another job. It might pay better, it might have better benefits, it might look better on a resume and on paper, but actually it's not better. Every job is worthwhile and valuable, and if we have a you know, a kind of a rethinking about that because of what's happened to me, that would be great. But no one should feel sorry for me, either from a positive or a negative perspective. I've had a great life. I've had a great career. And I've had a career that most actors would really, you know, would die for.
This is so powerful. Jeffrey, man, you're just a blessing to us.
Yes.
We totally agree what you're doing. And we're proud of you as well, and all the men and women who are every day in our everyday life. That's, you know, I was a police officer. You know, maybe you drove past me and not even thinking about what's going on, but I was there.
That's
you know, as a public
servant. Protecting the citizens.
Right, protecting the citizens, and it's just, this is so important. As a matter of fact, when we get back from the break, we're going to talk about the value of work, and not only that, but what God has to say about it. Because specifically, the wisest man outside of Jesus Christ that ever lived, Solomon, he talks about it. There is nothing, nothing more peaceful and refreshing than a man who has worked hard all day long and comes home. He says he gets good rest. Are you tired of being medicated? You want to get some good rest? Listen to Jeffrey. We'll get back from the break.
We'll be right back.
God is trying his best to build a trust in us, to convince us that he's dependable and that he is trustable. Don't you know that anybody can sing a song of deliverance after they've been delivered? God is not surprised at where you are. God is not surprised at the predicament you're in. And God has brought many of you to the place where you are right now, and he's going to bring you out of it with a great victory. We've seen so many miracles that God has done for us through the years. I want to ask you a question. How many more will it take for you to believe that God is going to take care of you? So here's what God's saying is, when I bring you to the Red Sea, I want you to learn to sing before the sea parts. Don't sing it after you get on the other side. Praise him right now. Praise God right now. I'm going out with a song, praising God, glorifying God. Oh my.
As I've gone through this maturation in Christ and in my ministry, drawing closer to my father's legacy, I've come to understand that I have a profound responsibility to carry the next phase of that, but I don't.
100 days of peace. Many Brazilian Christians are calling it a milestone in the history of Brazil in integrating sport and religious values.
It's an Olympic initiative put into effect by the Catholic Church, with organized events before, during, and after the Olympic Games to engage a new generation of young athletes with biblical values and to spread a message of peace.
In his 2014 message for the World Cup in Brazil, Pope Francis said,
"Sport is a form of entertainment, but above all, an instrument to communicate values."
The Pontifical Council for the Laity says that Olympic values recalls the teachings of Christ in the Gospels, mutual respect, and the care of the body, referring in 1 Corinthians 6:19 to the body as the temple of the Holy Spirit.
The Bible, impacting the 2016 Olympic Games.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You know, we're talking about Jeffrey Owens,
yes,
a former actor on The Cosby Show, who's now working for Trader John's and
Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's, and it's just spread all around the place because somebody took a picture of it and it just turned out so good.
Yeah.
You know, all the positive feedback that's going on, and we heard about job shaming. But what is the value of work? So many people right now, you know, have been sold a bill of goods by some of our education system that produced a lot of people who believe this. They know where they are, John, and they know where they want to be, but they don't understand the journey in between. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a journey.
So they get a job for a company, and they want to be the president of the company.
On day one.
And then they're in the mailroom. So they're working in the mailroom for a couple of weeks, and then they start struggling, trying to position themselves how to get out of the mailroom. And it's like, you haven't been here a month yet. And they're telling their friends, I think I need to go somewhere else because... Yeah. And that's actually how things work.
That's how they work.
It's the progression. I mean, what better to hire than someone who actually started from the basic part? It's not just the ground level. It's whoever had that vision to create that industry. They know you know it inside and out because they love every part of that and they understand why it works. And if you actually came through all that, you're the highest one to be hired.
We had a woman running for president, Carla Fiorina, in this last election, who started off as a secretary and became the CEO of Hewlett Packard, one of the largest, electronic technological companies in the world.
A powerhouse, yeah.
Powerhouse. And then she ran for president. But her first job there was a secretary. But we got to start really having this conversation. It's so important about work and the value of work. I mean, this gives every person, especially a believer, this is an opportunity where we get to serve other people. We forget about that. A lot of times people think a job in terms of what they can get out of it, money, benefits, as opposed to...
While our poorest person in America, the poorest person in America is richer than 70% of the world's population.
Yeah.
You know, poor folks in America have a flat screen television, a mobile telephone, and a car. Somewhat transport.
Yes.
It's totally different in the world.
Totally different. Yeah. I was just talking to a young lady who's going back to the Philippines, and she says that her friends are looking forward for her to getting there because she is going to take them out. And I said, well, they're not going to help you. She goes, well, they don't have any money. I says, oh, they don't work? She goes, there isn't any jobs in my town. They want to work, but there are no jobs. So the fact that someone can exchange their time, their energy, their resources for pay, that is actually a good thing.
Right.
Work is another thing about work, a redeeming quality, is that this is where a lot of people learn character. This is where you learn time management. This is where you learn how to work with excellence.
Work under authority.
Work under authority.
Yeah. Work with other people who take the credit for your work.
Yes. Right. How you get along with others and you work as a team. And so these are important things that you don't learn anywhere else, really. Right. This is this environment where your character begins to grow.
Right, right.
You know? Another aspect is this is where, let me tell you what Scripture says. In fact, we have a 46:88. This is what God says about work, because so many times people think that my work doesn't matter to God or it's not important. It's actually very important. This is Colossians 3:23-24. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving.
This is the English Standard Version?
Yes, this is Colossians 3:23-24.
Yeah, so it's never, we're not really working for man.
No.
We're working for God through man.
Yeah.
And so if we learn how to function, and this is what God says. God says specifically that, how can you say you even love me if you don't love your brother?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And how can we say we can work with God and we can't even work with man? Right? And how can we say that God's enough when we look at man and say, you're not doing enough for me?
You're not doing enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we put a value because of a job that you have. You know, and we really need to evaluate, are people actually looking down at other folks that are serving them or doing what they consider as a menial task? And I don't understand that concept, because every task is noble if you're doing it unto the Lord, but if you're doing it because you're a human being, you're contributing to society.
Those are the people stand up at. You know, if you think about it, you know, the fact that you remember that cashier that made you count.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And asked how you were doing. You remember the person who walked you to the car. You remember the person who took the extra step wherever they were.
Absolutely.
You don't remember the person at the office that's doing the same stuff, doing the grind every day. It's the people, or the what do they call the coffee person?
Baristas.
The baristas.
Who made you an excellent cup of coffee.
Excellent cup of coffee.
Need my coffee. I appreciate
right,
that.
You know
I mean? I'm like, man, thank you.
I know we got to go to commercial. What's up? What's coming up when we get back?
Listen, we get back from this break. We're going to be hearing about a prophetic word from Hank Kuhneman talking about what's going to be happening in September, storms, and what we can do to survive these storms because God has given us authority. Join us. We get right back from this break.
We'll be right back.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
First, the reality of evil and suffering. Every worldview has to deal with a problem. Whether you come from a theistic viewpoint, an atheistic viewpoint, a pantheistic viewpoint, you'll notice something very fascinating. Assumed in every answer is the purpose of life that has been assigned by that worldview. When you're dealing with an explanation of evil or suffering, you have assumed within your answer what the purpose is for human existence. And most secular humanists I have read or interacted with have assigned no established purpose. So my point here is to present a challenge, first of all, to the naturalist, the one who denies the existence of God, or even to the religious atheist.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life will, you'll just have peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Mm-hmm. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We have this very important prophetic word for you from Hank Kuhneman. It's an important word for September. John?
Yes, it's called September Prophecy. If you stand with me, I will put my words in your mouth. A call to prayer and intercession. As we have exited the month of August and have entered the month of September, I am calling for the people of God to enter into a time of prayer and intercession. God is looking for a people who will stand on the Lord's side for such a time as this. I pray you carefully read this prophetic word below and declared by the Spirit of God. This was just declared a few weeks ago, and he first released this August the 12th, 2018.
And it's for September
it's
2018.
It's for September. Correct. The enemy's brewing storm. So I speak to you now as there are storms in August forming and stirring to counter what I am doing. Look to September, for the enemy has said, we shall cause September to be violent. We shall cause September to be chaotic and cause September to be filled with rage and with storms. The marked ones, he has given you authority. But who shall stand, says the Lord, and speak upon this land? Peace be still. For I have given you authority, and I have given you power, but it shall not come if you point your finger, for I cannot and will not move through those who lift the finger of accusation, of hatred, racism, judgment, or prejudice. I will not use those who sow discord, but I look to those in this land, that I may mark upon their forehead as I did in my word when I marked those who cried out because of the abominations and the things that were done in the land. Who will stand? Who shall be those who stand in the month of August where the storm is brewing and desires to manifest itself in the month of September? Who shall stand on the Lord's side, says the Spirit of God, and say, we shall stand and not point our finger, but we shall be marked with the mark of thy spirit of intercession. For if it is you who stand with me, says the Lord, then I will cause a grace to rest upon you, and I will put my words in your mouth, and you will shift atmospheres. You will shift territories, but do not be alarmed as the ground shakes and shakes and shakes.
And we're seeing that. We're beginning to see that brew. Understand that, you know, as prophesied by Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, we had that on the program in regards to, you know, this is a time where you see the spirit of witchcraft, which is really the rebellion that's across the land, and a presumption, which is a sin of idolatry, is over the land. And people are just doing whatever they're going to do and not realizing that you know, they're coming against what God's established. And so you also see a lot of people that are finger pointing and being criticized, that they're offended and they're responding back with pain. But God wants those that
and
are
actually sowing discord.
Yes.
I mean, I've never seen so divided in a nation.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the secular media and what they're being a part of. And I want to encourage you, you know, as the church, just go back to the words of Jesus. Go back to the Gospels and watch how Jesus responded to all the things that are going on. Mm. He was not caught up with the temperature of local politics. You don't hear about that. He wasn't caught up with all the religious fervor going on. He was about the Father's business, and he was spreading the love of God and the kindness of God, demonstrating the face of God and the image of God. And in the context of that, that's what we're supposed to do. And God's got your back. If you aren't pointing your finger, guaranteed God's got your back. But if you're pointing your finger, what Hank Hoogerman said, God's not going to have your back in this. And so what you want to do is just relax. God is your defense. And trust everything, including yourself, to Him who judges justly, which is God. Don't look for justice in the land. Look for justice in the throne room of God. And realize that God is willing for us to go through something to win someone. This is what He says, and then we've got to close. He says, you know, your peace in the midst of chaos is a witness to those who see you. One is they're going to be destroyed. Two, you're going to be saved and saved by God. But they can be saved by looking at your life and go, you know what? I want whatever's causing you to have so much peace. I want that peace in my life. And that peace is Jesus Christ. And you can make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life as well. We shared what you can see at meetmyfather.org to find out more about that. You know, I just want to pray for you right now. We want to hear from you. Comment below. Write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. How has this touched you? What are you thinking about in regards to Jeffrey and how you stood up? This work shaming. What's up with that? Right? We need to honor people, everybody that we do business with. I want to pray with you right now before we close. Father God, I just pray a blessing right now over those that are watching, right? That man, that woman, Father God, the ones who've been feeling bad about their job. We say, feel good about it. God's blessed you with that job. We just speak increase over you and confidence over you and contentment over you. We thank you for the jobs available in this country. We speak jobs around the world, God, that the economy would change. God, and we just pray right now, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.